This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
Dude, I love seeing the process and like how far you come, dude. I remember when you first started this stuff.
Bro, yeah, absolutely. And it's like, we'll just get right into it, brother. Like, you were one of the first guys that I remember meeting when I moved to town. And obviously, like, now you're going by just your first name, Austin. And it's like, thinking back to 2018, to where we're at now, when you guys were doing, when you were doing your thing in West Tennessee, when you were doing your thing in Kentucky, when you were starting to come back, like, or starting to come down here and, like, just see kind of where all the homies are at.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild because you and I, we first met, it had to be through Ethan Willis, right?
Had to be, yeah.
Had to be through Ethan. And I think the first round that I ever hosted, the first ever In the Round Songwriters, I made on Ethan's phone the graphic, that weird.
I remember.
We had you on there when you were doing the duo thing and like had, I think, Dylan Marlowe on that night.
Yeah.
Had like,
it's a huge night.
To see where everybody's at now. And then other homies that are like, that have pivoted and doing other things, like our boy, like Garrett Biggs, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's just, it's cool to fast forward 6 years.
It flew by, too.
What a 6 fucking years it's been.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We're all still here doing it. We made it through a pandemic, and we're still out here trucking, man. It's crazy to look back and see.
Yeah.
I try to look back every so often and see how far I've come, and even the friend group. I mean, I'm still rocking with the same friends I found in 2018 when I moved here. So it's cool to look back and see our progress. And I have buddies that are on the road now with big artists playing guitar and bass for them. So yeah. I mean, it's cool to look back and see for sure.
Yeah. When in 2018 did you move here?
So I actually moved in October of 2017.
Okay, so you were October of 2017.
Yeah.
I was October of 2018.
Okay.
So I was literally like a year after you. Because I moved down like right around like it was Halloween weekend. Because I remember because I started at Whiskey Row that weekend.
I moved here. I remember my first day of work was October 21st.
Where were you working at?
I was a safety guy at Amazon at the airport. Being a five, baby.
No shit.
Yeah, I worked there for 3.5 years. Yeah. First day on the 21st. I remember I moved here on the like the 13th, and you know Jody, Jody Chappell.
Very well.
I knew him through a mutual friend, Logan Garner, and so I would just go out with him.
That's
the connection.
That's how I first heard.
Yeah, because Logan knows Ethan.
Logan, myself, Logan, Ethan, Dave Hangley, Tyler Lessard, Dakota Tate. I mean, by extension, the guys that were playing at Whiskey Row at the time, Skylar Anderson, Jacob Lutz was running sound there. Like, I remember I'd be taking the trash out at Whiskey Row and like going up and down the elevator. And then I'd see Logan because he was barbacking.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, man, you got to hear this song. Man, I'm telling you, my boys Austin and Brooks, like, dude, there's this thing. Like, they're doing it, man. Like, all the boys, we're doing it.
He's what got us to move to Nashville. So we went to college together. We went to Murray State together in a fraternity. We were frat boys together.
Yeah.
And he actually played drums for us when we moved to town. But I was still in Knoxville, Tennessee after college, and Brooks was in Louisville.
What were you doing in Knoxville?
I was safety for Pepsi.
I got
a degree.
What does safety mean? Because you're not like on the football field playing safety.
No.
Very different.
Hell no. No. I played baseball growing up, and my coach always said I had deceiving speed. I was slower than I looked.
Yeah.
Like, I had the flattest feet. But I lost train of thought.
Safety.
Oh,
at
yeah. So it's basically occupational safety and health is the name of the degree. So it's bachelor's of safety with the emphasis in occupational safety and health. So it's basically workforce safety. So I made sure that the employees made it home the same way they came in, basically.
Okay.
And I would make sure the building was up to compliance, like the fire extinguishers and the sprinkler system and the machine guarding and all that stuff. Make sure that they didn't get hurt. So I went to school for that. And it was the quickest degree for the most amount of money. That's what my parents told me. So I was like, all right, I'm going to Murray. I'm going because they have a great program.
Yeah.
I have a lot of buddies that moved to Nashville with me. They're still doing safety. But I did that in Knoxville out of college. And Brooks did veterinarian stuff in Louisville. And but Logan moved to town to Nashville and started barbacking. And he would call me every night because I'd be depressed. I was like, man, I just got off work. I'm like drinking because working at Pepsi, I love bourbon, and I love to chase it with Pepsi.
Kentucky boy.
Kentucky boy. I love it. Love it all. So to be able to have free chasers out of college, I would just buy the bottom of the barrel whiskey and just take home old Pepsis and just drink. So, yeah. Like, I'll talk to Logan every night. He'd be like, bro, you got to come down here, man. I met this person today. They said they can do this for us. You just got to get down here. I'm like, all right, man, we're planning it out. Just trust us. And then we wrote half a song over FaceTime one night, me and Brooks, and we're like, all right, bro, this is it. This is the song. We got to move now. So we set a date and picked an apartment. Didn't even look at it. We're just like, it's crazy. It was $641 a piece a month for me and Brooks. And I'm like, all right, it's destiny, 641.
Yeah.
So we moved down, and if it wasn't for Logan, we would have came down a lot later than we did.
And it's funny how Logan was for you guys, Dave Hangley was for me.
Yeah.
Dave Hangley used to call my ass up because he moved down in, I think, January of 18 was when he made the full move. And he would call me all the time, be like, bro, you got to get down here. And I'm living up in New York. And he's like, bro, you got to get down here. Like, I can get you a job on Broadway. Like, my buddy's got a room open. And then I moved in with Dakota down in Spring Hill. Mm-hmm. I had never seen the apartment. I just blindly
took crazy.
The room. Yeah.
Dude, Spring Hill's a great area. I worked there for a little bit, too. I worked at GM at the GM plant.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
I was all around, man.
If you're working in Spring Hill, GM, Saturn Parkway, like that whole area.
That whole town's built around that factory.
It really is. And that kind of, I always say, like, I think that translated to why we got hockey and football, because they moved all these people from Michigan down.
True. Yeah.
They needed to give them a hockey team. That plant opened up in the 90s. Titans come in like 95, 96. And then the Preds came in like 98, I think. Mm-hmm. So it all kind of
went around the court.
Yeah, it all kind of goes around. And that's like the Red Wings throw the octopus on the ice. We throw the catfish.
Oh,
so
true.
It's like there's those similarities,
okay,
you know?
Yeah.
Something, I don't know if it's fully confirmed, but it's just like an idea I've had. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, even when I was working there, all the people in the management side, they were from Michigan.
Yeah, because GM.
Yeah, they were just there just for a few months, and then we're going back. So
yeah.
It makes sense. All right, nice conspiracy theory.
Where were you driving to Spring Hill from?
So I live in Nolensville, so not too far. It was still a 45-minute drive.
Yeah.
But at least it wasn't like West Nashville or Hendersonville.
Yeah, I was driving from Spring Hill to Broadway every day.
Ooh, that's an hour, a little over an hour
timing,
a day.
Timing out the... going through Williamson County and stuff.
Yeah.
And it is beautiful country down there. And where in Kentucky did you grow up? Because you're from, you went to Murray State, which at this time of year, you guys aren't still in it, right?
No, we didn't even make it.
Oh, really?
Not this year, no. Either us or Belmont or Morehead State. And I think it was Morehead this year.
Because I remember watching, like, as a kid, being like, oh, Murray State, you guys were always the bracket buster and stuff. But where in Kentucky did you grow up? And,
so I'm from Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Oh, I've been through Hopkinsville. Yeah. Okay.
It's a cool little town. It's the first exit from Nashville going towards, like, St. Louis, like that direction.
Casino there, right?
That's the other direction. That's like towards Bowling Green.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm the other direction. We actually just opened up a casino in Oak Grove, I think.
Okay.
The Mint. Yeah, that's the closest one.
Okay.
Grew up there, played baseball and all the country shit growing up, you know, four-wheeling, dirt bikes, all that good stuff. But I also grew up in like the choir theater place. Like my parents, they put me in sports and they put me in the arts. They're like, you're going to pick one or the other. You just got to figure out which one. So from a young age, I was doing, you know, singing and playing ball. And it got to senior year. I was still doing the theater stuff. And I was like, man, I don't know if this is for me anymore. Like I'm getting pretty good at baseball. I'm getting looked at, you know, trying to go to college to play. So kind of put the theater choir stuff down and picked up baseball 100% and went to Murray. Played baseball freshman year and realized I was not big enough to go to the next level and, you know, waking up early in the morning just to work out and knowing you're not going to play.
Yeah.
It doesn't really sit well with me. So luckily I met Brooks shortly after that, my freshman year. It was a summer, sophomore year, very first week. And it was music ever since then. But yeah, I grew up around music. My mom was a singer. She didn't do anything with it. She was more like a church singer. So that's kind of what got me started.
Yeah, Kentucky's got a lot of music coming out of it right now with guys like yourself. There's guys like Rye Davis who are on the traditional side.
Yeah.
And then there's the old 60 boys coming up right now.
Yeah.
And guys like Cody Loden and like Walker Montgomery. And there's this thing. And Dylan Carmichael, too. Like there's this crew out of the state of Kentucky. Everybody always talks about Georgia. Or I always talk about Alabama just from the folks that I've been on the road with and stuff. But like Kentucky's got a hotbed. I mean, it is the... It's bluegrass. You guys kind of come up playing guitar, and it's just that the country lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like Kentucky is that in the purest form.
It's funny. I feel like up until this point, Kentucky was trying to compete with Georgia and Alabama with like the cliques of like country music. And I feel like Kentucky's finally coming into its own with the bluegrass movement, like Tyler Childers.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Childers
and
Sunday Best and all that stuff. Like, that's the new wave now, and even with me, with like the more pop indie vibe country, it's cool that we're finally getting the recognition of being a country music state. We always had, you know, we had the Judds and Stapleton and one, you know, all that stuff, but finally competing with the cliques is cool to me.
Yeah, and you talk about being on the popular side, and you guys were at like the perfect time of that. I'm talking about back in the 641 days and now you doing your solo stuff. Like 2018 to now has been kind of the real start of like the genre blending, and you can really do whatever you want to do and be in any genre you want to and have any look on it. You know, it's the whole mantra of that ain't country. That's kind of gone
away. It's not
away.
A thing anymore.
Yeah, it's not a thing anymore. But you guys were starting out at the tail end of that ain't country. And I remember you guys coming out doing shows when I was with Muscadine, and it being a little
completely
bit
different,
being a different kind of thing. Like people asking me, why are these guys wearing Jordans on stage? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys just wait and see. Like, this is the movement that's going through. And you even getting opportunities going on the road with Brantley Gilbert, and that crowd being such a different crowd. Like,
oh my God,
the opportunities that you guys had, but had to still do your thing in front of an audience that necessarily wouldn't have been there for that thing.
Oh my God. Like our first show we had with Brantley, it was in an arena, our first arena. We were like, holy crap. Like it's probably April or May of 2018. So like we just got our manager. He also managed Brantley. So we're like, all right, we're playing with Brantley. So we're in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Oh, dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the casino.
The Hard Rock. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
I was at, funny story about the Hard Rock. I used to work in radio in Jersey. Mm-hmm. And one of the stations that I worked for, the AM talk station, WCTC, we would do like grand openings of stuff. Mm-hmm. And like the morning show would go down there. So I was actually at the grand opening of that casino.
Really?
When it became a Hard Rock. Yeah.
Dude, that place is sick.
It's a massive, massive operation
there. Yeah, I bet. But we were there, and we were about to run on stage, and I mean, you know his crowd. It's a bunch of bikers and all that good stuff.
BG Nation, baby.
Yeah. And we were like, we were so green. We were prime. Like, we had the skinny jeans, the high tops, like the tight shirts, spiky hair. We were just trying to do it
not
all.
Not even a hat on your head.
No hat, no facial hair, no nothing. And I specifically remember, we always used to joke about it later, but we're running up the ramp to go on the stage, and somebody in the front row goes, "It's a freaking boy band." And we get up there and do our set, and we meet him at the merch table afterwards. He's like, "Yeah, I know y'all heard me say that. I'm sorry. Like, y'all are actually pretty good." I'm like, "Thanks, man. Thanks."
That's probably the coolest feeling about it, is winning those people over. Yeah. Like, they're judging you right away, but then they're hearing your songs, and it's cool to win them over. And you still get to do that now, doing the solo thing. What's it been like being Austin?
It's been great, man. It's been I've been Austin for a little over a year now, and just the creative freedom to be able to tell my story the way that I envision it. You know, coming from the duo world, it gets difficult at times to tell your 100% truth in a song. And now to be able to do that in like a cool way, like I'm doing it now, it's been a fun ride, and it's been cool explaining the vibe to like new writers and new producers that I'm working with. And I'll play them some songs like, "Oh, okay, I get it. All right, you're trying this, and let's go this way." So the more rock, I'm a huge like alternative fan. Like, I grew up on Blink-182 and A Day to Remember and all that kind of stuff. So being able to incorporate those kind of sounds in my music now, to tell my story. It's been so cool and fun, and the fans' reception of it has been awesome so far. I mean, I'm 3 songs into an EP so far, and I'm loving it.
That's awesome, man. You got a good team around you, too.
I do.
You still with that same management?
I am.
So, yep. Aaron.
Yeah, still rocking.
Dude.
He is the dude.
He is the guy. Like, yeah. It's funny, like, because you have, like, managers have, like, personalities, you know, and there's all different managers in town, a bunch of great guys, a bunch of great girls. But Aaron's one of those guys, like, when, like, he's the guy you want sitting by your side at a negotiation table.
For sure.
Advocating for you. He's the guy when he walks in the room, people are like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And how'd you first, I know obviously it goes back to the duo days, mm-hmm. but how did you first come into contact with him? Because he was kind of starting, getting his thing going at that time, right?
Yeah, he was rocking with the Brantley crew, working his way up the chain there simultaneously. But we put out a song called Plain Crazy in 2018.
That's the Logan one.
Yeah,
I remember that, yep.
We put that out in March, and we didn't know what to do, how to market it, whatever. So we just put the song out, and we're like, man, let's just put a $100 ad on Instagram, see what happens. So we did, and 2 days later, we get a DM from this guy, and in his bio, it says BrantleyGilbert.com, and I'm like, oh, shit, like, what's going on? And he just goes, hey, are you guys playing anywhere else anytime soon? And we're like, actually, we're playing in Louisville this Thursday if you want to come. So he's like, all right, I'll be there. Sure enough, that Thursday, he drove up 30 minutes late, halfway through the set, and we were playing at some like college club, and luckily it was Brooks's brother's fraternity, so they knew all the words. And
perfect.
So he gets there, and they're singing all of our like old stuff, and afterwards he's like, hey, y'all want to go get some pizza and talk about it? And so we did, and he's been my manager ever since, but He helped us out a ton and helped us grow and learn in the industry and, you know, putting us on tours and shows with Brantley and Michael Ray and Eli Young Band. It made me realize, you know, the other side of the industry. And like, I moved to town wanting to be that artist, you know, as big as Brantley, as big as all these, you know, stadium acts, and getting to see how they operate and what it takes to get there. It only makes the ride that much more fun.
That Brantley crew runs you talk about tight a ship. Well-ironed machine. And came up similar to how you guys did.
Yeah, road-dogging.
Road-dogging, playing in the college towns, playing gigs where you're in the moment like, why the fuck am I doing this? Why am I at this biker bar? Why am I at this pizza joint? Yeah. Why am I at this Mexican restaurant?
I better make sure I'm getting paid tonight.
Make sure I'm getting paid tonight. And then building it around, starting in Murray and then growing your circle and then expanding the circle just like he did in Georgia and in the Southeast. Like, that model's so important. And I think it shows what you were doing too.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's a bulletproof method. And that's one thing that my manager Aaron told us from the start is like, you know, you could get on the radio and you could have number ones, but could you sell out a phone booth, you know, kind of thing? And we've kind of followed Brantley's method of playing the hole in the walls and building your foundation there, because, heaven knows if something happens down the road where it's all gone. If you have those hard ticket sales or those shows that you play coming up and those fans that you accumulated, they're not going to go anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, you could lose your record deal. You could do all this stuff or not even put out another album ever again. But like, having that hard ticket fan base, oh my God, there's nothing like it. So that's what I want at the end of the day, is like, have that security and that fan base to rock with me no matter what. And it's been fun growing it.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. And then your other team, Lindsay, grew up Roundhill, bro.
Dude,
we come into contact with lots of publishers, and obviously, like, Nick and I with Rage Rowdy, we're like in the business, but we're like not Sooty, but we can pull some strings, we can be like businessy kind of people, but at the end of the day, we just like hanging out with our friends that are artists and writers and being a part of the community. But Lindsay and the crew at Roundhill is a crew that we've gotten to become very close to, and to see that you're over there, to see guys like Adam Sanders, like Christian Yancey, like, they are building a I think Renee Blair's over there, like, there's a crew, and you talk like, because everything kind of like comes in waves, and you see different like different buildings or different offices like coming up with the crew, and Roundhill's one of those that's coming up
we're doing it, man.
Now, which is perfect for you on the artist side.
Absolutely. And I've loved Lindsay for years. I met Lindsay when she was an intern at a former company. And
yeah.
When she came to Round Hill and started working her way up the chain, I'm like, man, it'd be awesome to work together one day. It's because we talked about that throughout the years. And I had a publishing deal previously to that that ended June of last year. And I reached out to Lindsay and was like, hey, I'd love to work together. So we met, and some months went by. The dating process happened of like, yes, putting me with their writers and all that good stuff. But back in March of this past year, she was like, hey, we want to offer you a deal and we want to work with you. And we're like, I was like, hell yes. Like, I've been working with, you know, wanting this forever. This is like a dream come true.
Yeah.
And I've been with them for almost a year now, and I cannot be happier. They're putting in some work for me and giving me that confidence as an artist. Cause yeah,
that's the biggest thing. When they talk about you, like in our conversations, they talk about you obviously as a writer. They talk about Nathan as a writer. They talk about Christian as a writer, but they also talk about you, and Adam. And yeah, they talk about you guys as artists to us as well. They might just be on the publishing side, but they see you guys as more than just writers on the roster. They see you guys as artists that they fucking believe.
Yeah, and they found, and they're going to work with them the ground up. And that's what made me want to go over there. Like, they believe in who they sign, and in my personal experience, like, they signed me as an artist first, and they want to see me grow and get me to the next step. And that was huge for me after meeting with them. And they're doing it. They're following up with what they said. And like, going back to the confidence thing, like, I've heard around town from other people, and they're like, oh, yeah, Lindsay and all them, they've been talking about you. They've been talking you up. I'm like, hell yes. Yeah, that's what you need.
I see Lindsay out at Red Door and the team out at Red Door, and they're immediately like, hey, you got to hear this new song that Austin wrote. Like, and it's the same thing with the other guys and girls over there. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really big champions. I love that you've got a C4, bro. And they're not like a sponsor or anything, but when I was in the trenches on Bro, I know you get it, doing the long shifts and stuff. We used to make, because I don't drink, which I'm like very public about and everything, but like I'd be doing like the 12-hour shifts on Broadway, and I was a day shift guy, which meant my shift was going until the night guys showed up. So sometimes it'd be 6 o'clock, sometimes it'd be 9 o'clock, it'd be whenever. But our manager at Whiskey Row at the time, Jake Bischoff, he'd keep containers of C4, like the powder.
Oh, behind, like a pre-workout.
Behind the bar. And he would make us mocktails at the beginning of our shift. And I'd end up with like 3 or 4 of those throughout the day. And I was checking IDs, just fucking zonked out on C4, bro.
Dude, they should, do you think they still have it behind the bar?
I don't know.
Because I would order like a little pre-workout mixie.
You talk about like the vodka Red Bull on crack. Like,
yeah. It would little fruit punch pre-workout.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, it was the fruit punch flavor pre-workout, and he'd come around with a tray and just hand them to everybody.
Like little shots.
Yeah, yeah. Bartender. Well, like the cups, like a full cup, and then I'd shoot it. You know, me and Dakota and Dave, we would shoot that shit. But dude, C4 brings back lots of memories.
I don't go anywhere without one. At least I have a problem with caffeine for sure.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I'm really big. Like, I've gotten to like the espresso coffees, and that's part of my morning routine. I have the K cup. That's like, I forgot the company name, but it's like the it's like espresso mostly in the coffee.
Is it Nespresso? Is that the company?
It might be
Nespresso.
It might be. Yeah, it might be.
I've just seen commercials.
Yeah, it might. It could be. But it's like I'll drink that. I'm caffeinated like so much. And when I was on the road with Muscadon, they had like a little thing with Bang. Where they were doing like bits around Bang. So I'm at the merch table. I'm like, I got to be part of the brand. I got to have a can of Copenhagen Wintergreen like Gary does. And I got to have my Bangs there. And I drink 2 Bangs, 3 Bangs on a show day and just be.
Dude, you can do it when you're bored. Like, I'm just bored and I'll drink another C4.
I know. I know. And then it starts catching up to you where you're like, I shouldn't be taking in 900 milligrams of caffeine a day. That might not be good on top of all the nicotine.
Yeah.
I was dipping and I was smoking cigs. Like, it was a lot, dude. Yeah.
Probably going hours without eating, you know, because on the road you forget to eat or like you're too busy and like you're caffeined out, you're nicotined out. You're like, fucking
especially
tweaking
at the merch table, dude. I'm trying to sell somebody a Port Swing Angel koozie. It's like, no.
I can picture it now,
dude. Man. Yeah, dude. Because at the merch table, you're like stuck in it. Same thing with bouncing. Like, you're at the front door, like, you have your spot, and it's like you're sitting still, but you feel your body like kind of shaking.
Yeah, I'm not here right now.
Things have changed my fucking life. What are you doing on threes? Did you were you one of the guys that started out on sixes and then cut back to threes, or have you always been threes?
I started out on threes. I just went back to threes. Like, this is the first three can I bought in a couple weeks.
Why'd you go back?
I just need to wean myself off, I think. I don't know.
I've heard people say that they get, and I've had this happen a few times, like they'll pop a six in and then they'll get the hiccups.
I do, yeah.
Get the hiccups every now and again. Like, I'll pop one in and then I'll just start fucking hiccuping out of nowhere.
There's something in it.
That's what I'm saying. So everybody's like, you got to get on the threes. I'm like, I just can't get there yet. And it's about to be festival season for us. Yeah. Which festival season, obviously, I put up a post that said, like, the most wonderful time of the year today because it's baseball season. Mm-hmm. Opening day. Go Yanks.
Spring
go
training.
Yanks.
Yeah, opening day.
Are you a Cardinals fan?
I am a Cardinals fan. I figured. Unfortunately, this year.
I figured you're a Cardinals fan. You guys got some people that'll be coming up. Like, the Jordan Walker's not the writer, but the baseball player.
It's good to say I'm not a bandwagon fan. Like, I grew up. I had a Pujols fat head in my room.
Historic franchise. Like, just like the Yankees logo, the Cardinals logo is huge. But yeah, it's coming up the festival season, and Zyn is at almost every festival that we go to.
They have the best deals.
They have the truck. Yeah, three cans a day, four-day festival, so that's 12 cans.
For $1.
$1 a can. And I'm giving my debit card or some cash to the crew that we have with us at the festival that doesn't use Zyn.
Yeah.
And I'm stocking up. Like, I won't have to buy a single roll this summer. Because every festival we go to, I'm getting Zyn by the dozen.
But how often do you go through them?
I was doing a roll a month, or like a roll a little over a month. That was about a can a week.
That's not bad.
That has since changed.
I'm about to say.
Now we're closer to like a can every like 3 or 4 days. So
dude,
it's starting.
I'm worse than that though. That's why I'm trying to wean myself off.
Yeah, some guys are like, they take it out, then they put another one back in.
Yeah, that's me.
Or it's like the guys that you grew up going to school with or playing sports with that were like the coach that would be just adding to his lipper all
never
day.
Never took it out.
He put in his lip in the beat, and he'd take, some guys wouldn't even take it out to eat. Like, and you're like, how the fuck are you doing this? Uh-uh. You know, like, but yeah, I'm trying to be a little bit better about it. I just know that, and the bad part is like when I wouldn't have a cigarette, I'd be like, okay, I'd keep smoking obviously, but like I'd be okay. If I don't have one of these, like I actually feel it now.
Really? Like in your head?
Like the nicotine withdrawal. I never really felt it.
Yeah.
Until the fucking,
that's scary.
Zins.
Yeah. And even with the sixes, like I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm one of the guys that I'll constantly put one in, you know? Yeah. And it got to where I felt like my head, like I was constantly buzzing. I was just always in a euphoric state, and I didn't like it.
I haven't felt the buzz in years of nicotine. Because
you smoke like actual cigarettes.
I smoked cigs for a long time. I dipped for a long time. But like, yeah, it's a thing. I mean, we have a writer on our staff. He runs our rock stuff, our Rowdy Alternative segment. His name's Sam. He's from Kentucky as well. Mm-hmm. He's like the Kentucky-Cincinnati border, like just north of Florence, y'all.
Yeah, Florence, y'all.
And he's two sixes at a time.
No way.
He puts two or three of these freaking things in every time he does it. And it's like, how are you doing 12 to 18 milligrams? Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, like, how do you function?
That's wired.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he's...
I couldn't think straight.
That's why he's running our rock stuff. He's a rock guy, you know? He's,
yeah, get that weird shit.
He's the guy I'll be like, Sam, why do you got a black guy? He's like, oh, me and my buddies just decided to fight each other outside of Chili's after Dollaritas.
I got 20 bucks.
What the fuck? Fucking redneck degenerate shit. So you talked about an EP coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, man. It's been a long time coming. It'll be here in, I don't have the exact date. I'm kind of holding out. We got two more songs to be mixed in the process right now. But it's looking like May-ish. The whole thing will come out. It'll be 7 songs total, but I put out 3 so far.
Yeah.
And then, the rest will come out in a couple weeks. But it's been super exciting to be able to create my story with new writers that I didn't write with before. Like I have a cut on there, the title track actually, called Running My Mouth. I wrote that with Ben Stoll. I didn't know who he was till I wrote with him a two-way last year, and then become best buddies.
It's funny how that works over time, because it's like you start out writing with your boys or your girls, or with like your crew. It's like a mixture of both, and then everybody kind of starts still keeping the friendship, but when it comes to like writing and everything, everybody kind of starts like drifting off and finding through the, because there's so many fucking writers in town. There's so many people to work with.
And we all have our own goals.
Yes.
You know, and there's different people to get those goals with, you know, and you can still have that home base of friendship. Yeah. But if you're going, like, if you want that traditional sound and I'm more of the indie pop sound, probably not going to hit your goals with me, but I will support you working with whoever you need to work with to get your goal. And that's been fun to see. Cause I mean, I have my girlfriend, she just signed with Warner and, she's doing like the Coastal Cowgirl stuff.
Shout her out.
Morgan Johnson. She's doing the thing.
One of my favorite girls in town.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Best voices in town. And, it's cool that we're doing this at the same time. Yeah. Like, we both got signed a week apart for our publishing deals. And she's working on her EP right now in the studio too. So
excited.
It's cool. We're
supporting
each other.
For her to get a lot of music out, because you talk about people that are humble with a lot of ability.
Yeah.
Like Morgan is at the top of that list.
I agree. And her stuff sounds great. I've been in the studio with her and hearing it, and it sounds great. Yeah, it's a huge, huge 180 in the best way for her.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's how you want it, you know? How'd you and her first meet?
All right. We, it was February or March of 2018. It was back when Why Not Wednesday was at where the ice cream shop is now, like Whiskey, it used to be called Whiskey Rhythm, right across from Red Door. Do you remember that spot?
I never went in there. I remember the building kind of being there, but like,
well, that's where we met. I thought she was hot and she thought Brooks looked like somebody she knew, and she didn't talk to me. She was like, "You look familiar." And I was like, "Dang, you didn't even talk to me." But we had a write that Monday with this guy named Greg Ryder. And he gets to the write and he goes, "Do y'all care if my friend comes and writes with us too? Her name's Morgan." And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." She shows up 30 minutes late with a pepperoni pizza. And she's like, "Sorry I'm late, guys, but I brought pizza." And I'm like, "Oh, I think I love this girl." And we didn't even write a song. We just played each other's like demos. Like at that point, we had Plain Crazy demoed, so we just played that for her, and like she played her songs back and forth. And we left with nothing, but we exchanged numbers. And luckily, her friend group and our friend group that we were creating knew each other, so we just started hanging out together all the time. And as the years goes by, like we just kind of fell in that way, and we each dated other people and kind of saw, you know, how each other operates that. And but still, you know, the whole time just being friends and respecting each other. And one day I was like, man, I called my mom. This was a little over 3 years ago, because we've been dating a little over 3 years. And I was like, man, I think I love her. She starts crying. She goes, "I've been waiting on you to say that. You need to tell her. You need to tell her, Austin." So I'm like, okay. So I hang up and I tell Morgan, and she's like, "I think I love you too." And then we just became, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend after that. But we snuck around for the next month because our friend group.
That's kind of what you got to do when it's intertwined in a friend group. And it's like the artist thing in town, dude. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing we were worried about. It's like, we don't want to burn bridges or, you know, just burn bridges. And our friend group was so supportive on it. They knew we were doing it before we even said anything. They're like, "We've been waiting on y'all to tell us. Like, there's no big deal. It's gonna be the same."
Yeah.
So it's been fun. It's been fun. And we still got the same friend group. I mean, we hang out probably a couple times a month. I mean, we're all busy doing our own thing. It's, but
that's something that I miss, is having the friend group where you're able to, where people don't have everything going on yet.
You can go every night.
And you're able to, "Hey, where are we meeting up at tonight? Hey, you want to come over? Like, we're meeting up at this person's house, so-and-so's house." But everybody's so busy, which is the goal.
Right.
You want people to be out on the road on the weekends. You want people to be playing showcases, to have their calendar booked with rights.
Right.
But then you don't get to, it's tough.
And even marriage, like two of my buddies are married now, or one's getting married, one just got married. So life is happening right now. So we can't hang out every night like we used to, but it is fun to reminisce on that stuff.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
Okay, so we're about the same. I just turned 29, so we're right around that same like ballpark where it's like, you get closer to 30 and then like,
you gotta get your shit together.
We're not the kids anymore. We
can't stay out till 4 a.m.
Anymore. We can't just fuck off and wake up at 10, 11 in the morning.
You feel it now.
Yeah, you really, I'm it's sure bad. Drinking, you definitely, like, hangovers are like really a thing now.
Yeah, I need to get off that too, but we'll get there one day.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know if ever, like it's the, but it's like, there's so built into the culture of.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I tell people all the time, like, I feel like our industry is the only job that, like, you have to drink on the job kind of thing. Like, oh, I got to go play a show. I got to go to work tonight. I got to drink. Like, oh, crap. Because most of the time, like, you don't get that luxury. Like, if you like to drink, you don't get that luxury to drink on the job. And now it's like you're supposed to. Like, it's not frowned upon. So, like, it's weird navigating that, like, when not to drink, when to get a little rowdy. But, yeah, it's give or take.
Yeah, and seeing how much the city's changed too, dude. It's a very different place than when you and I got here.
Mm-hmm.
Like Midtown, the whole like culture of just everything is just, it's different.
And that might not be here in a couple of years is what I heard.
Oh, that, well, the Mumbrian Street, yeah.
Yeah.
The Mumbrian, it's, we're very aware of that, like with the development that's going on down there, which is part of why we pivoted over to doing the Wednesday nights that we do on Division Street.
Mm-hmm.
We just had our second Wednesdays at Losers. We were doing Wednesdays at Winners, but they're remodeling Winners right now, which we're super stoked about. The new Winners is going to be so fucking cool.
I can't
cool.
wait to see it.
It's going to be so fucking sick. It's been needing a facelift for a little while, and the crew over there, they're very excited about it. But yeah, it's like even just the bars that are downtown are a little bit different.
Yeah.
Like, there's a fucking Whole Foods on fucking Broadway now. Like, what the fuck?
I know.
Like,
what are you supposed to get groceries at Broadway for? You know
like,
what I mean?
What is going on? Like, no. It's crazy. Where in town do you live at now?
I live almost in Nolensville. So if you go down Nolensville Road, like past Lenox Village a little bit further, I'm down there.
Okay.
Yeah. It's 35 minutes from downtown.
Yeah. That's not, honestly, it's kind of nice. I'm out here in Hermitage.
So, okay. It's a great spot.
I like this area because you have everything you need. You're actually closer to the airport than you are downtown.
Yeah.
Like, which I dropped Nikki T off this morning. Like, it's a good spot to be in. It's like I found myself inching closer and closer. Like, I went from Spring Hill to Laverne to Antioch. Antioch was a little crazy.
Yeah.
Then out here to Hermitage. So you've been out in that way, like the Nolensville area, pretty much your whole time, huh?
Yeah. Well, a couple years now. I've been all over the place. So, like, when I moved to town, I was at the airport off Thompson Lane. And then I moved to 8th Avenue for a year.
Oh, city boy.
And I was 22 years old on 8th Avenue.
Dude, like, city boy.
It was fun.
That's wild, yeah.
Then I moved to West Nashville, like in the Bellevue area.
Yeah, another great spot. Mm-hmm,
yep. And then I moved to Nolensville. Been there ever since. But, yeah. I live on the same road where the new outlet mall, that little area, was just built.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I live right there.
Nice.
So
you got everything you
civilization
need.
Is finally coming my way.
It's funny seeing it all the different areas around town developing stuff. Where are some of your favorite spots to go and get some food? Because that's one thing I think you and I have definitely shared, like Little Chicago together on Demumbrian and things like that.
Yeah.
Like late night with like Ethan and those guys like back in the day. But
yeah,
where are like your spots that you like going to?
So I'm a huge like street tacos guy right
all
now.
Right.
I don't know why. I just love tacos.
Yeah.
In East Nashville, there's a place called Redheaded Stranger. Have you been there before?
I've heard so much about it, but I haven't been yet.
It's so good. I think it's Willie Nelson's place. He started
up. Makes sense.
Great spot. But I think the hands down the best street tacos in Nashville. Like throw shade if you want to, but in the new Assembly Food Hall, that it starts with a C. It's like Chimichaluas or something. It's whatever, but they have like birria tacos on the weekends.
Ooh.
I'd go to Broadway just to get those and leave.
Wow,
like it's good. Yeah, take my word for it. It's like a 9 out of 10.
See, I like I like going to the shitty looking taco places.
The taco trucks.
Antioch. Yeah, the taco trucks in Antioch or the place where they're looking at you weird because you're not speaking Spanish.
Yeah,
like
that's where the best food's at.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, that is where the best food's at. You get the Green Gus tacos, which they call them the Green Gus for a reason because guys like you and me are ordering them.
Yeah.
What's something that you wish you could have if you could go back and tell yourself something? That kid getting those phone calls from Logan back in Knoxville, or even a different point, even when the decision comes to do your own solo thing, or there's been like you've lived quite a few different lives and different versions of this process of finding what you really want to do ultimately, which is right fucking now.
Yeah,
you know, you've built up to this point, but what's something that you like wish you would have known then, kind of thing?
I know it's cliche, but I think if I could just get it through my head back then of like trust the process and patience is key, I'd be a lot better off and my mental state would have been a lot better off at some points throughout my career so far. But taking that time and realizing like everybody's path is different and you don't have to get there the same way somebody else is. Like,
put the blinders on, bro.
Put the blinders on.
Put the fucking blinders on. They put them on horses for a reason.
Right, but they don't put it on themselves.
No.
Somebody else puts it on.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to do it yourself. And, but it's, if I would have took the time back then and realized that, I would have been a lot better off. And, trusting your gut, honestly, that's huge, especially in this town, because you're always wanting somebody else's approval. And is this song good? Is this marketing strategy the best way to do this? Like, should I put the song out on this day? I don't know. But trusting your gut, in my experience, it's been tried and true throughout my career, my short career so far. I'm not even anywhere near where I want to be right now.
But no, it's you've been at it since you were since you played your first fucking show back in Kentucky.
Yeah,
that to me is when it's the start of
true.
Of Austin, of you doing your thing.
Yeah,
you know, and it's and you have different chapters in that book that
true.
Is you in music. You're
true.
28. You got the whole fucking. You're on the highway, and it's a long, long way until the exit where you got to pull off and get gas. You
right.
know, like you're doing your thing.
Yep.
It's fucking.
Yep.
It's cool, dude.
And there's so many different ways to get there. Like, you can keep on the highway and get there. You can take a detour and get there. You know what I mean? So everybody's got their own spot, and but the benefits always are way bigger than what you imagined when you started out. If you just keep trusting that process.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. Are you out playing shows right now, or what's kind of the status of that as far as the thing? Or are you waiting to get the songs and, like, developing that first?
A little bit of both. I don't have any, like, out-of-state shows right now. I just played my first full band show 2 weeks ago at Whiskey Jam.
Nice.
That was fun.
Hell
it was,
yeah.
Great time. That was the longest I've gone without playing a show. It was a year and a half.
You missed
and,
that shit.
The butterflies were real times 100, but once I got up on that stage, it was all good. But, yeah, no plans right now. I'm in talks right now with a couple different agencies just to see what the right fit is. But that is the goal this year, is to get on the road, because that's my favorite part about this whole thing. Like
that's
I said,
how you got your start.
Yeah, like, I was a theater kid growing up. So like being on a stage and singing, it's always been so fun. So getting back out there as soon as possible would benefit me a lot, especially mentally.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. It's like, and that had to be a weird thing during COVID.
Oh my God.
Because you guys really had the motor running.
We were right there. We were right there. Like, we had our first showcase 2 weeks before the world shut down. So it was a blessing in disguise. But yeah, we had all, everything was falling into place. You know, we were on the road every weekend. And to not do that for a year, I see how people could fall into a dark state, you know. And even from the last show we played is 641 till now. I mean, a year and a half without playing one, like that was the longest since college. And I didn't feel like myself until I stepped on that stage again. And I got that bug. I'm like, all right, get me on this stage every weekend and this train's going to be rolling. So yeah, I just need to get back out there.
Yeah. I feel it. See, that's how I felt. Like, I felt that for a little brief while when I wasn't on the road with Trey anymore, because I stopped that gig. Last January was when I got off that gig. But it's like, we go to enough festivals and enough shows, but my first show going to post being a tour manager was weird.
I
because
bet.
I'm like,
where was it at?
It was at, which fucking one was it? I'm trying to think. It might have been a festival.
Was it one of Trey's shows?
It wasn't one of Trey's shows.
Okay.
No, it wasn't one of Trey's shows. It was a show with Nikki T. It might have been, was it fucking Ian Munsick? It might have been like something, because we go to different spots across the Southeast. Like, we'll venture around. Like, we go to Georgia a lot for shows. We go to Alabama a lot for shows. Like,
do you work with the Peachtree guys?
Yeah, we know Bradley and those dudes
cool.
very, very, very well. Those guys are really, really, really close with them. And I got to know them through being with Muscadine and being with Trey. And now we're doing all their festivals this summer and stuff. But it was just weird to like be in the crowd and like not be back there and like be looking at the stage and being like, oh, this guy needs a change here, this or that. Like, it's like being a professional athlete and then watching a sport and being like, I want to do this. Or like, we go to shows with Kurt Ozon, who plays with Luke Combs, and it's like going to a show with him is funny because you can just see his itch to be on that stage and be doing what those guys are doing.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, it's like being an artist and listening to the radio. You're analyzing every song. You're like, oh, I would have I would have sang it this way.
Is it tough? Is it tough to listen to music for you sometimes?
Occasionally, yeah. I'm really big into podcasts right now, just to reset my brain.
Cool.
And even when I listen to music, it's rarely country. It's more like the rock stuff, hip hop, just to get a fresh palate for the next day.
What hip hop stuff are you jamming right now?
I mean, the new Metro Future album. I'm bumping that right now. That whole beef with Drake and Kendrick is pretty funny.
Yeah, I like the Big X the Plug guy out of Texas.
I haven't heard of him.
Really with him?
Mm-mm.
You gotta listen to him.
Big
X the Plug.
What a name.
And it's like, he's this fucking ginormous
dude.
I'm gonna show you like just a picture of him, because he's just this... He just played that Rolling Loud festival.
Oh, okay. So he's doing it.
Yeah, he's big, but it's like, he's just like look at this guy. Like, look at that dude. It's just a hoss.
Oh, I've seen a video with him hanging out with Morgan Wallen or something.
Yeah, like Morgan and Post. Like, I think he's going to be involved in some
That's
of that.
Sick.
He has like this, he's from Houston, he's from Dallas, I think, actually. But he's got like that like Texas kind of thing where it's like that slower, kind of like how like UGK and like that era had it. But it reminds me a little bit of Biggie, and one that he's just a ginormous human, but like it's like this swaggy kind of thing. Yeah, I like his stuff, and I like this guy named Prof that my buddy Anthony Mossberg put me on.
You about to put me on some music today? Well, I've never heard of him.
That's what we do with Rage Rowdy. That's kind of like what we are. Is like finding different shit. You know,
so posh
Poff. And this guy's a weird looking motherfucker too.
Poff
is a very weird looking dude. He's probably one of the weirdest dudes I've seen. Like, he's like this white dude from. Look at this guy. He just looks fucked.
Like, he looks like a.
He's like possessed.
A Catholic priest.
Yeah, and he's like this dude from Minneapolis. Like, it's it's weird. Like, seeing there's so much music out there in so many different lanes, which is where a guy like you, I think, comes in, and that you can have the bending of different genres. And
I
if you're feeling something more melodic, or you're feeling something that's more storyteller, or you're feeling something that's more upbeat or slow or this or that, like, you have the versatility to do it. Like, you're not pigeonholed in the one lane,
for sure,
which is cool.
For sure. And what gave me that idea, my favorite artist is Machine Gun Kelly.
Yes.
I have a tattoo in my arm right now, one of his lyrics. But whenever he went from rap to the pop punk, I was like, oh God, I love this. Like, somebody's bringing this back. Like, I think there's room for this in country somehow. And then whenever Hardy put out Mockingbird and the Crow and went straight heavy metal, I'm like, okay. So he busted the seams open that far. There's a lane for me now. You know, I just got to get the right songs, the right sound, and it'll break through. And I just love like the band Camino, Laney, Knightley, like that vibe of music. So incorporating those sounds with country lyrics for me, I think that's what's really going to help me find my lane and have my own little fan base within country music, whether it don't sound like country. That's not country, but I'm not all the way country either. So.
Yeah, and you're seeing different tours. Like, Jess Murph just announced her tour, and she's got Matt Schuster out with her. You know, like, you have... The band Camino was out with, I think it was Dan and Shay they were out with, right? Like, there's, you see different acts crossing over, even on the touring side.
Yeah.
You know? Who would your dream tour be if you got a call right now and you're like, I mean, I know right now, like, you're just itching to get back out there, but, like, if you had
one
where you're like, this would be really fucking cool.
So this is mainly for me, a personal thing for me. I loved Florida Georgia Line, and I think it'd be sick if I can get some shows with Tyler Hubbard.
Yeah.
Just to check that bucket list thing off for me, just to get to meet him and stuff.
Yeah.
I think we'd vibe pretty well. But as far as like tour-wise, man, I think in the country space, Sam Hunt would be a great spot for my kind of music to go to. Or even Camino. I'd love to do like the indie lane, or like a Knox tour or Camino or 1975. Something like that could be cool too. I think there's a lot of different spaces for me once I start finding my lane more, because I want to be able to do the country space and the indie space and the rock space. Like, that's why I wanted my name to just be Austin instead of Austin G or Austin another name, kind of like Kane Brown. I mean, I know he uses his last name, but Kane can do the hip-hop stuff one release and then his next song have a fiddle in the band and just a bunch of different stuff. And I think I can do that once I get my feet under me. So that's why I don't want my name to sound too country to be able to, so don't put me in a box.
Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome, man. Well, brother, I appreciate you coming on and coming out here. Do you got any plans for Easter?
Nothing right now, man. Nothing. I'm going to stay in town. Maybe I might have an Easter egg hunt at the house.
Ooh.
I might text you, see if you want to come out and find some eggs.
Dude, there you go. Hell yeah.
It's Morgan's idea. She's always up for something like that.
I myself am in a relationship right now with a girl. My girlfriend has a 5-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And so I'm like,
you're definitely doing it this year.
I'm definitely doing the Easter egg hunt thing this year with little baby Charlotte. So
cool.
It's fun, dude. It's so cool to like to reconnect with you and actually do this podcast. I think I talked about doing one years ago with you when you were doing the duo thing, and to see where you guys have come and like where your team is at, where what you've got around you, and you've got guys and girls believing in you, like Aaron, like Lindsay, like you got co-writers, like you, mm-hmm. Morgan in a great place, and it's cool to have you on to check in after all these fucking years, and now we're in a fucking legitimate studio.
Dope ass studio.
Which is really, really cool. And I never thought I'd be the co-owner of Raised Rowdy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
it's insane, and you
didn't think you'd be doing your own solo thing and find the woman of your dreams. Yeah. And
that part's figured out.
Right?
Yep. We talk about that stuff all the time too. Like, we have the relationship part figured out. Now let's focus on the career. Like,
yeah, and both there to support each other, which is the best fucking part.
You need that.
When you have a supportive partner, bro.
Yeah.
I've had that. I have that for like the first time right now, where I have
it's a great feeling.
Supportive partner, and she doesn't do anything with music. She has a lot of friends in music, but it's like, it's cool to have that mm-hmm. that ride or die, that number one.
Talk you off a ledge.
Dude, exactly. Talk you off a ledge and hype you up to go and walk through that door that you might be hesitant to fucking walk through.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that you two talk about all kinds of stuff like with each other's careers and give that encouragement, you know? Especially when you're going through shit, like to keep you going.
Yep. Just for Whiskey Jam 2 weeks ago, she sent me a text, like supportive text message before, and be like, hey, you're born for this. So don't worry about it. Just get up there and do what you do. I'm like, all right, cool. Love you too.
That's awesome, man. So EP coming.
Yes, sir.
The singles are out right now. Where can people go to find you on all the stuff?
All social media. You can find me on @itsaustinmusic and then itsaustin.com for all that stuff. Once the tours come, you can find shows there and on my socials. So yeah, be sure to follow me.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, brother, I appreciate it. I like the
you
watch,
too.
By the way.
Appreciate it, man.
Look at that thing.
Thank you. It's fake.
I was going to say, it looks like something I got on Canal Street in New York City for $20.
This is the middle of a mall purchase,
Dude, no, it looks awesome, man. Well, thanks again for coming on. Y'all be sure to check out our boy Austin. Be on the lookout for the EP coming this year.
Boom,
be on
boom.
The lookout for shows and all the shit that he has got coming. Longtime friend of ours with Outside the Round, back all the way to the In the Round days. Literally day one playing at Live Oak in fucking 2019 to now. It's wild.
Dude,
man.
Thanks for having me, man. It's a crazy full circle moment.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, y'all be sure to check out our boy Austin. If you guys want to find out more about us, visit RaisedRowdy.com. Be sure to rate, subscribe, give Austin a follow on all of his shit, too, and check out the music that he's got out. And be sure to follow him on Spotify and Apple and all that, so then you get the music right when it comes out. You can go pre-save that shit and everything. But we will see y'all next time. For my boy Austin, I'm Matt Barrill. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just